The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Granny Audio. Eric Nelson and Kevin DeFrango here this time around. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, a whole lot of nothing, at least for right now.
You know what? So it's Tuesday night, according to my watch. Is this a normal Tuesday night for you for nothing to be going on?
Yeah. Well, I start watching hockey and 3 days until I start attending hockey, so...
Hey, cool.
You know, it's all about the end of the week as far as I'm concerned.
Good deal. I as punishment, and yes, I realize I got a verbal lashing last week for not being able to make the audio, but as continued
what?
Punishment...
What? I thought you did a great job with Jeremy last week.
Horseshit. for punishment for even thinking the word stunt granny audio, I'm on Biggest Loser and house cleaning duty. I wonder if I can just change channels while no one's looking. Let's see. Anyway, so basically, other than the audio, I got nothing going on either. Oh, Christ. There's a Nicolas Cage movie on our, like, third-tier network in Des Moines. Can I go on record, by the way, and say Nicolas Cage is the absolute worst leading man ever?
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't mind. I had to, my ex-wife had an obsession with, what the hell is that? The one where he's a con air.
Con Air, okay, yep.
I had to watch that more times than I really wanted to.
Yuck.
And, what the else? Well, you know, that was funny seeing someone bash him for Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I just liked it because I liked all the nice cars that they were driving around. Like, I honestly didn't go beyond that. I didn't overthink the plot or, like, oh, crap, this is a remake. I'm like, ooh, pretty cars.
There's
and
no
that's why I
love you get behind it. It's just Nicolas Cage and his stupid, doughy face with that stupid expression that never changes just needs to go to hell, basically.
So, Racing Arizona, not on your list of good movies?
One good movie does not a great actor make. I'm sorry.
I completely agree, but I just figured the one movie that most Nick Cage detractors even go for is that one.
I'm trying to be stubborn. I'm using my Norwegian/Scorpio attitude to be stubborn about this. So he can pretty much go to hell. Hey, speaking of people who never, ever, ever change their facial expression, Monday Night Raw opened with Randy Orton last night. Should we start talking about Randy Orton and Monday Night Raw?
I suppose we could talk about that.
Let's get to it. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. It's about the only thing in the news worth talking about. We might touch on two or three other things in about one sentence at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But,
this has been just an absolute drought of anything important going on the last week and a half.
You made a really valid point that our site is so patterned after what would Tyler Durden do that we simply just can't write anything without something going on, without a headline to talk about. We rarely ever write blogs anymore besides your weekly TV recaps. I don't think I've written a blog on just the state of the business for 3 months now. Jeremy had him for probably a year. Dusty was he almost did not too long ago, but I think I dropped the ball on that. He asked if I would be his editor for the weekend, and then I went and did something like clean the bathroom. I don't know. So whatever I got punished into doing that weekend, I think is the reason that we haven't seen a blog from Dusty for a while.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, hopefully when we get to the PWO stuff, but that is still TV review.
Yep.
And it's just like it was so nice when I had close to nothing to do at work.
Right. Yeah.
And I could just sit there and write The Art of Wrestling or The Architecture of Wrestling without any problems. But when you're up to your eyeballs in work and you don't have any free time, it's kind of funny how that stuff goes away.
It's a bummer, but it's true. So, yeah, make money, money, make money, money, as they say. All right. Hey, and speaking of making money, Randy Orton's opponent, Drew McIntyre, is pretty much just hanging out to collect a paycheck these days, wouldn't you say?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That guy has just been shit on constantly when he's been on TV. And when I was reading Powell's review, it was kind of like you know what? He did probably get in marginally more offense than I expected.
Nope.
But still.
Yep.
He lost pretty decisively.
I want to – this is a kind of a long and involved URL, but my bass player, Max, he created a little blog. He never writes on it either, and his buddies never do really. But it's called Is Not a Wasteland. So is not a wasteland. .wordpress.com. And one of those guys wrote something on that site for the first time in 2 years. And he likened all of the Major League Baseball teams at the very end of the season to boxers in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And it has me in – I mean, he's got like, you know, I don't know, the Phillies are up in the Soda Popinski level. But, you know, who are some jobbers? Like the Twins, I think he's got down in like Glass Joe territory.
So each boxer represents several teams then.
A few teams, yeah, three or four teams.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like I'm in analogy mode. Maybe that's the next blog I'm going to do. I feel like there's an analogous, like, former superstar turned total jobber in WWF history that Drew McIntyre correlates to. I don't know if it's like Kerry Von Erich, who, you know, was hot and heavy for about 6 months and then his drug problem got to him and they stopped pushing him, you know, or what, Dino Bravo, you know, went in a career tailspin until he got shot. Poor Drew, the chosen one. Getting squished by Randy Orton, the apex predator. Sorry, I'm all over the place.
No, that's okay. Like this thing isn't all over the place 3/4 of the time.
True. I don't know. Should McIntyre be wary of the chopping block here maybe 6 months from now? Or is there still a silver lining out there somewhere?
Yeah, like – it wasn't – he never really got that full-on – and that Del Rio is probably a bad one, but that's who popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of some type of commensurate push.
No, Del Rio is a great choice because he was given that – he was handed that, like, that stock WWE gimmick of the rich aristocratic guy shoved down our throats and caught on just enough, maybe, where they could rationalize continuing the push. Whereas Drew, literally the chosen one, couldn't catch on for shit. He couldn't catch fire in a fucking dry spell with a match and is nowhere. Totally just, like, stumbling and fumbling everywhere in his career.
Yeah, and they even gave him a little bit of a storyline with Kelly. And that didn't help him at all. I mean, you can say what you will about her wrestling or the absence of wrestling skills.
Yep.
But the WWE certainly seems to have an infatuation with her that does not seem like it's ever going to go away until she decides on her own that she is going away.
Yeah, until she's ready to go on Dancing with the Stars and start dating George Clooney. I think we're stuck with her.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I don't know. Interesting way to keep heat on Randy Orton despite losing a title match the night before in Hell in a Cell. Drew McIntyre may be screwed come spring cleaning next year. I guess we'll find out. Then Mark Henry comes out, and he and Randy Orton brawl. You know, again, I guess they gotta. They feel like they need to keep heat on the baby faces. Randy Orton gets the best of him, and then the next thing you see after commercial is Mark Henry standing up in the ring holding the championship belt.
At least he was smart enough. I think he was still like kind of shaking his head or holding his jaw a little bit.
Yeah.
With the hand that wasn't holding the belt. So I mean, he was still selling the beating a little bit, I suppose. I don't even know if you call it a complete beating.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess
the attack, at least.
The attack, yeah. To WWE's credit, they didn't have Randy Orton do anything to Mark Henry that was going to make Mark Henry, the world champion, lose momentum, so that's good. And they did put some heat back on the number one babyface that's on SmackDown, which basically means nothing since everyone's going back and forth between brands anyway.
Yeah, and Mark Henry got to go through someone else who really, he seems to be entering the Drew McIntyre zone, Mr. John Morrison.
Oh, yeah, if he's not careful, if he doesn't, and he and his girlfriend don't quit running their mouths, they're going to be an unemployed couple. They're going to be struggling to make ends meet. You can't
yeah,
make that
no.
kind of money off of the royalties of Z True Long Island Story. Sorry, guys. Those appearances probably aren't paying a whole lot.
Yeah, if they're paying anything, I would be pretty shocked.
Broski t-shirts. What about, though, Mark Henry's promo, man? He killed it last night, and you've probably seen a lot more of it than I have watching SmackDown, but damn, he's really got it these days.
Yeah, you know, I kind of likened it to, or was that you likening it to his promos in ECW when he was champ?
That was not
like
me,
he,
but, yep.
Okay, well then, it's, you know, he just kind of had that kind of preacher kind of mentality to him, and it really worked out quite well. And
been a dub for John Cena?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, he doesn't dick around at all, which helps out immensely.
Oh, yeah.
As most of the times when John Cena does finally turn it on, his anger does seem real. But Mark Henry, I mean, come on. Like, who wouldn't be scared to see that guy coming at them?
No kidding.
You know, there've got to be a very limited amount of people who wouldn't go, oh, my Lord, he's going to beat the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there might be legitimate frustration with Mark Henry, in Mark Henry, not with him, not about him, but literally inside the man. And I feel like if that's the case, somebody did the right thing and challenged him to let it come to the surface. Because when he cuts these promos, there's some serious hatred coming out of his voice. And it's scary and it's great. And you're right, he says what he needs to say. He gets to the point. He doesn't fill his promos with cliches or bullshit or flowery prose or 20 minutes worth of garbage like Triple H does and doesn't think that everyone's hanging off of every word he says. He literally is like, I'm going to kick somebody's ass, whether you like it or not, Hall of Pain, theme music, walk away.
Yep.
Actually,
that's the only thing, and I brought it up on the Definitely Live and Half-Assed blog there last night. That is the only thing I'm worried about is the Hall of Pain. Like I can't believe that the crowd hasn't caught on to that, because it seems like there are so many of these guys now that just become badasses like Orton and
mm-hmm.
Sheamus, who just start beating the tar out of people and everyone starts digging them.
You know, that's a good point.
Mark Henry is really in that zone right now.
You know what, though? That's a road worth traveling. The thing is, if a guy is over, a guy is over. And if you need to shuffle the roster around, so be it. Mark Henry was a heel about a year and a half ago before he turned babyface for a short time. And he was a pretty effective babyface, too. I feel like in the last 2 or maybe 3 years, everything he's done has just taken him up and up and up. And so if this takes him up again and makes him have to switch sides, so be it. I say good on him. I think that's awesome. I think the Hall of Pain thing is okay. Right now it's pretty innocuous. it's almost like a cheesy play on words, you know, Hall of Pain. And it would probably sound cheesy coming from a lot of people, but from him it just sounds like, what's going to happen? I'm going to kick your ass. You're going to feel it. Hall of Pain. You know, he could continue on this route, and that phrase could catch on as something, and he as a badass could catch on as something. This is one of those things where if it happens, it's not going to happen for a while, I don't think. The other thing, the other thought I have is, when he was a babyface before, he was getting cheered pretty well. And before that, when he was a heel, he was getting booed pretty well, too. I feel like Mark Henry, having been around for about 15 or 16 years, has entered that Booker T territory where when the crowd is supposed to boo him, they happily boo him. And when the crowd is supposed to cheer him, they happily cheer him. It's like, okay, we like this guy, we respect this guy, we know he's playing a role, let's just play along. Plus, he's easy to like when he's likable, and he's easy to hate when he's hateable.
Yeah, no, because he definitely, I mean, he's up there in the boo department. I mean,
yeah.
I still think it's kind of sad that, I'm going to say that Vicky Guerrero still gets the most boos.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I wouldn't put Mark Henry number two.
Sure.
In that department at this point.
Yep. They're doing a great job with him, and he's doing a great job in this role.
Yep.
Oh, let's see here. Scrolling, prowrestling.net and Kevin's blog. Trying to find the actual – oh, John Morrison. Oh, we already talked about him. Chump, good luck.
Yeah, I don't know if he's – like I said, he's not quite to worry about the phone call thing, but he's certainly walking into that territory.
Yeah. Gosh, let's see. At some point here, there was a promo, there's a backstage thing, whatever. Basically, what I'm getting at is there were six heels who got a hell of a lot of face time. I think you even mentioned that at one point, that when the baby faces for the 12-man tag were coming to the ring, most of them came down during a commercial. And you were saying, that's not fair. These heels have gotten TV time like for freaking 45 minutes out of the last hour.
Yeah, because they had after the Morrison and Henry match, they had a backstage segment, which mostly was just Laurinaitis and Otunga. And then
I'm sorry to interrupt, but of all the fucking people to put the focus on, old fucking Johnny Two Left Feet or whatever you call him, and then the black hole of charisma, no pun intended, David Otunga. I'm just going to start calling him old, no pun intended.
Well, and I can't believe, like, to me recently, it's just started to hit me again. It's just like, I think it was last week when he started doing the lawyer thing.
I think so anyway.
Okay.
Whatever.
But it was just, I'm just like, how was he the guy that you're like, when they brought them on NXT, it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy is killing it on the mic left and right.
Uh-huh.
Like, he stunk in the ring, but he was really good with the mic, and somehow he has lost that at some point. Like, I don't know when that happened, and when Lawler was making fun of him, I'm like, oh yeah, I completely agree with him. And I guess it hadn't really kicked in. I really liked his promos back then.
You know what I actually think part of it might be is just the pressure of being on live television, because I kind of remember, and I might be mistaken, but I kind of remember David Otunga cutting some promos during NXT that seemed like they were scripted but delivered well, and I know that the shit he's saying nowadays, and I've said this before in audio, I know the shit he's saying now is being scripted 100%, and it is not being delivered well. He's just like, fearing... You want to know my feelings? He does that whole, like, you know, ask the question again and then ask the question one more time and then get into the, I'm a Harvard-educated lawyer. I'm a this. I'm a that. And you're going to say this, and I'm going to say that. You know, it's like super just shitty, just wooden delivery. Part of it's probably because he's just not ready for prime time.
Oh. Yeah, that certainly seems to be the case.
You mentioned Vicky Guerrero getting all the heat. So they, so the heels had their little dumb thing backstage, and then they all came to the ring. And they played past the mic for about 5 minutes. I don't know. Why don't run down some of these guys here and give me your opinion on their delivery, their content, whatever. I mean, I'm sure it's all to the 90s.
Yeah, because I yeah, no, I just can't get into Del Rio. Like, I understand that they seem to think that there is something there, but wow. And that's it. I made this part of my review really easy because it's like Del Rio's not doing well. Christian does better in 10 seconds of mic time. Cause he literally did. And I don't know if Christian's, like, killing it or anything like that, but he's always going to be there. Like, I don't think he ever really has, like, a bad promo.
That's the thing with Christian is that even, like, a 50% good Christian promo is still better than 110% of Del Rio.
yeah, that sounds good to me. Well, I mean, Christian's just been at it a very long time, and I mean, I even think I remember him back when he was in a tag team for the most part. Like, so I mean, he's had the noodles of time, and I don't know, maybe that would help. But also, you know, you've got to think that he's kind of the same as the Mark Henry there, that he's got to bring up some type of real frustration with how his career has gone, especially considering his tag team partner blew him out of the water in some pretty short order.
Right, and the whole you'll never be a main eventer, sorry, you're never going to ride in my plane thing that turned into him quitting the TNA and then coming back. Then he was like, he came back, tail tucked between his legs. Yeah, that was kind of a dumb move. Yeah, there's probably some frustration there, but it's also personality. You know, Christian's always come across, always other than when he was in the Brood and he was being the silent type, he's always come across as that kind of smart ass, you know, guy with an answer for everything. So he's just
And
then you got a guy like Ziggler. Ziggler's a natural, too. You can just tell. He's, you know, it's easy to draw the comparison to Kurt Hennig because they got the same hairdo. But I'm really starting to think that Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth, is the type of guy who loves pro wrestling, loves everything about it, and is having a lot of fun out there. Plus, he just has that great antagonistic personality, and it really shines.
Yeah, and well, and that's the thing that they finally let him do more of the mic work. Like, even though Vicky is still getting a shit ton of booze for them. They definitely have let him off, well, I shouldn't say off the leash, but they've gone from a 4-foot leash to a 6-foot leash or something with him.
Yeah, they're loosening the leash on him.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, why the fuck do I feel the need to be exact?
I don't know. A 6-foot leash? I was going to actually look that up at Target.com and see, like, if there's a difference in the quality or...
Not really. They're just longer.
Okay, gotcha. Well, then you got a doofus like Jack Swagger. This fucking guy couldn't draw heat in a goddamn inferno. And they got him out there trying to cut a promo for about 15 seconds. And he's just, oh, he's the worst. God, I mean, I would even take Otunga as just like, you know, wooden delivery over shitty fucking Jack Swagger. Can't fucking, you know, just wait for his cue. I'm just going to stand here like a fucking monkey and wait until somebody hands me a microphone to, you know, start doing my shit. God, he's just the worst, man.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just disturbed myself.
Oh, jeez.
Woo! That's
okay. Good one. Vicky Guerrero was mentioned a couple times. She's fantastic. God, I love just hearing the people boo her. She's a great heel. She's like straight up sensational Sherry material these days. She's awesome.
Yeah, and even getting there in the looks department.
Yeah, really. yeah, I mean, that's that, and then Triple H comes out and literally just from the top of the stage punks seven heels. Oh, we forgot Cody Rhodes. He did the whole, oh, I'm a heel, I wear the mask promo.
Yeah, well, what did I say about that?
Oh, him and his strange cadence, but it was good, and, you know.
Yeah,
and
because...
I do love his promos.
And, you know what, I didn't clear that up, really, I don't think, in the blog there. Like, Del Rio seemed to have a little bit different of a cadence to me. Like, he doesn't seem like he's just kind of straight ahead. Like, he kind of has more of a pause and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, it's definitely not wooden or anything, but he definitely has more of a different way about going with it. And Cody does a much job, and I really should have meant to clear that up in text, but fuck it, I'll do it now.
All right. So, yeah, like I said, Triple H comes out, punks them all, puts them in their place. Fuck Triple H. I got nothing nice to say about this guy.
I guess the point that I made at the beginning of that was that it does just, I don't know, the whole lawsuit thing isn't exciting for me. It doesn't do anything for anyone, really.
No, it does not do anything for any wrestler on the roster other than Triple H.
And I don't even know if it does that much for him.
Well, the thing that it does for him is it puts him in the spotlight. It puts him back on television, and it puts him back in the spotlight, which foreshadows a chance for him to claim that he drew a ton of money at the next WrestleMania. I honestly think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be it, because anyone of any significant popularity could have sat in that ring and had everybody walk out on them, and the crowd would have chanted their name if they were in the ring by themselves.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't care if it was CM Punk, Cena, Rey Mysterio. Like, people just, they would have been chanting, you know, whatever fit them.
You're right, but that's a great point, too. I could literally see Triple H, with all the time that he's had off, thinking, what can I do that will put me in the ring by myself with an arena full of people chanting my name, and then work backwards from there? Okay, I know. I'll have everybody come out to the ring. And then they're going to walk out on me. Oh, and before that, I'm going to make all the heels look like a bunch of bitches. Oh, I know. Before that, I'm going to make CM Punk look like a bitch. Oh, this is great. Johnny Ace, you want in on this? Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. Just what a pile of shit that guy is.
Oh, man. Yeah, no.
Fucking done with him.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more, like, because I thought at first, and, you know, it was obvious, well, yeah, I think at this point, obviously wrong, to give him a little more rope, because it's like, okay, they've got to establish the COO character, Triple H, and not Triple H, kind of like Vince McMahon in real life isn't Vince McMahon on TV.
Right.
It's like, okay, he's got to kind of slip into a little different persona, but the show has been all about him, honestly, since the start of things, and it's just like, okay.
Yep.
Like, I was willing to take the first couple of weeks or something for him to get around, but now it's like, oh, okay.
Yep.
No getting around it.
Yep. That segment happened. Real quick on the women, there's a women's, I think, tag match, if I remember right, it was a tag match. I seriously don't remember or care. It lasted 35 seconds.
It was supposed to be a tag match, and it just, I turned away to do something, and I don't know what it was.
Who cares?
Yeah, I looked up when Kelly started shrieking like a banshee, and that was it.
When did Karma take off for her pregnancy, for her maternity leave? Was that before or after WrestleMania?
Before.
It was before. Are they seriously just going to monkey fuck around until Karma comes back? Because all they're doing is going in circles with the same four women, and it's getting really fucking tired.
See, now, to me, this is the problem that the WWE ran itself into.
Uh-huh.
Was completely shitting on the women's division,
mm-hmm.
not using it at all, and then all of a sudden going, oh, we're going to have a women's division and we need some people in it, but we've got to build all of them up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can't build all of them up just using the same four people. Like, there's no good way to get that done.
Mm-hmm. No.
And that's the problem that they're having, is they're not letting anyone. I don't know why the Bellas aren't jobbing to just everybody under the sun.
Sure.
And there's really only so many times that Caitlin and AJ can lose.
Aw, that makes me sad to hear. Aw, just the words AJ losing makes me sad. Now, AJ and job have a completely different meaning, in my opinion. And the more AJ jobs, potentially the happier I will be. But that's a different story.
Yes.
So, yeah, just his poor management of the women's division has led us to this.
Yeah, because at least with the men's division, with the men's tag division, since they're kind of on similar-ish footing, is that you can at least have those guys do singles matches against other people to go, oh, that's right, they can still be, you know, Zack Ryder or somebody. You know, I don't even know who you feel like picking, but, you know, they still have enough people to beat in singles comp that you're like, oh, okay, it makes sense that they'd be a good team.
Yeah.
But with the women, you're kind of stuck.
Oh, yeah. That small-ass women's division. Yeah, honestly.
Yep.
Just give me any reason to put AJ and Caitlin on Raw next week, just to give them a little more time too, and to give the women's division a little more exposure. And the words AJ and exposure have a completely different meaning in my mind than what we're talking about. So the more the words AJ and exposure go together, the happier I'll potentially be.
Yeah, well. You have to wait until we're out of kid-friendly territory before that one happens.
Ah, dang it. Stupid PG rating. People bitch about it for all sorts of reasons. That's the only good reason to bitch about it right there.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, we've heard from six heels. We see one babyface come to the ring, John Cena, and then the other five come down to ringside. I'm curious on your opinions of getting a 30-minute 12-man tag team match on Monday Night Raw.
I was glad that a multi-man match lasted that long.
Yeah, you pointed that out on the blog, and you're right, because WWE has this weird thing about hitting finishers within about 5 minutes on one guy out of 12 who should feel no pain at that point.
Yeah. Like, it takes time for these guys to wear down in a regular match.
Right.
And it's just like, unless you have a complete and utter jobber in there, there's no reason for this to happen at all. And none of those 12 guys were pure jobbers. Like, Swagger might be the closest thing to a jobber that they had.
Yeah, and even he's getting that mid-card push. Well, Angle. He's getting a mid-card angle right now. So, yeah, you're right. It would have looked very strange for that match to end as quickly as multiple man matches usually do in WWE.
Yeah, anything above and beyond a tag team match doesn't ever seem to last nearly as long as it should.
No. What about, and I'm going to kind of lead your answer here, and maybe you have a different opinion, but what about the way some of the guys were being positioned in this match? You've got Mason Ryan, who basically I haven't seen much of the guy, but I bet he's only good for the two moves that he does, and that's all he did. You've got John Cena getting the hot tag to pop the crowd. You've got Kofi selling because you can tie him up like a pretzel. You've got Evan Bourne hitting his finishing move to get a reaction from the crowd. Are you on board with all of these decisions at this point?
Yeah. I mean, it kept it, because they did it in nice stages to me, where they kind of, because Bourne hit that, and then the heels interfered, and I think that's when they went to their second commercial break.
And if I said 450, I meant Shooting Star, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that first break was right when Bourne hit Airborne. And then by the time they come back, since the heels interfere, he's selling, which is fine because he's the smallest guy out of the group. And, well, we know that if you're a small guy, you're going to sell in the WWE.
Especially wrestling six other guys, but yeah.
Yeah. So, and that was fine. And was that the only commercial break?
No, there was a second commercial. What about the convenience of all 12 guys standing in the ring in a face-off just as Michael Cole is ready to throw it to commercial? What a coincidence.
Oh. Okay, that's why I completely missed it, because I forgot that, because CM Punk and Cena came down before the break.
That's right, Punk did, yep.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of missed that commercial break. That was the cheesiest thing. That was probably the worst part of that match. It's just like, just have one of your regular, someone got tossed outside the ring break.
Exactly.
Or both of the guys that were in the ring got tossed out the side. Because, like, there are times, especially when I'm behind viewing, it's just like, oh, okay, both these guys got tossed out of the ring, and I just start hitting fast forward in the times that it doesn't go to commercial. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, I got to rewind this thing.
It's seriously, it's like the weirdest, like, Pavlovian cue to just, like, get up and go piss or get up and refill your drink. It is when somebody gets thrown out, and as soon as you hear that, like, thud, you know Michael Cole is about to give the little, like, tie this up in a bow sort of, someone's in control of the match. What a bunch of shit. We'll be back in a minute. Like, okay.
Yep, and that's the other thing. It's like you think you hear the announcers going for it, and all of a sudden, like I said, it's just like, oh, shit, it's still on.
If Russo were booking today in WWE, he would swerve everybody. He would have guys getting thrown out 12 times during a match. You never know when you can get up to piss. That's entertaining.
Yeah.
What about Sheamus getting the pin in this whole thing? What do you make of Sheamus being the guy who gets the fall in this match?
Honestly, because of his aborted feud with Mark Henry, I have a hard time believing that their long-term goal isn't having him finally be the guy that beats Mark Henry after at least a somewhat lengthy title reign.
Okay, interesting.
That would be my humble opinion. So that's why I think that he's, because I mean they are really talking him up, and they got him away from the. Because they mentioned that Henry beat on him, but they really downplay that one more than any of the other guys that have been inducted into the Hall of Pain.
That's really true. Good point. And for what it's worth, we would be seeing the Great White versus the former Silverback. So it would be an interesting clash of racial epithets and non-PC things that will get Bruce Mitchell's frickin' underwear in a bundle.
Yeah, no, the Great White always cracks me up because back my freshman year at Kent, I lived in a dorm that had four wings, and they were pointed almost perfectly north, south, east, and west.
Okay.
And the one guy was going to call the team the Great White North because he was a big, he lives in Canada now, and he was just he was a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Uh-huh.
And everything. So, I mean, it was more of a reference to Canada because, oh, you know, I wasn't sure how that one would flow with anyone of color. So he decided to go away from that one.
Okay, that's funny.
And, the WWE is doing the exact opposite. And I know that he has a white skin tone, but I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me.
There's no connection
either
between Ireland and sharks, is there? I mean, right there should be a perfectly good reason to not do it. You're making reference to a fucking shark. Don't,
yeah,
I mean,
no.
If he was from, like, Miami, or if he was from a beach where kids get mauled by sharks and lose arms all the time, then I could see that. But, you know, using his skin color as a reasoning, as a rationale, is just poor thinking on WWE's part. You know, God, at least come up with something as stereotypically Irish as you would have for Finley. But the great white, what a crock. I do agree, though.
Yeah.
There's a, I mean, he is the other baby face on SmackDown. He and Randy Orton. And since, and, well, Big Show coming back, too. I guess we'll see what happens with Big Show. And Sheamus is still Triple H's buddy. And Sheamus is awesome, too. So
No, that certainly helps. I think a lot of people got off that bandwagon when pretty quickly. When Sheamus started to prove himself.
Yeah, he definitely did. So I'm all on the Sheamus bandwagon. I have been for a long time.
His yarns get a little weird sometimes, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll let him slide. It's the first time he's been a babyface, so.
You know what the thing about those is that he's done so many talk shows that he's proven himself to me like I'm fucking anybody. He's proven the ability to just talk and that he's a good talker. It's different if you didn't know that he could talk naturally and just have a cool personality and try, before establishing that, trying to get over these silly Irish stories, then we'd be like, what the fuck is this guy? But at least we knew in advance that he could talk. I think that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
And then everybody walked out on Triple H, and then I shut the TV off. Anything else you want to add to that?
What the shit was I going to that was more of the title reign thing.
Okay.
Well, no, that everyone was talking about the WWE title getting tossed around left and right.
Uh-huh.
And though I certainly agree that Del Rio really shouldn't have dropped it in the first place. It seems like that was one of those questions that got posed on Facebook there about how many people watch sports and and watch wrestling, and it really seemed like a majority of people who watch wrestling also watch a lot of sports and do tend to watch the UFC.
Yep.
I agree that it's a storytelling tool. Having a champion last longer is better.
Sure. Overall, I would
say. I'm going to get that one out there. But then I just remember it wasn't that long. Well, it wasn't that long before Jon Jones that the light heavyweight title was getting tossed around like a hot potato.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't. Not because I'm not the biggest UFC fan, but. Generally, you know, a while back, I could have at least told you who the heavyweight champion is. I couldn't tell you one fucking champion in UFC right now.
No, okay. Yeah, no, I watch all the time, so I can pretty much run it down, although I'm still having problems with the names of the weight categories. I know what the weights are, but sometimes the names, just like, oh, okay, whatever, I mix them up, fuck it.
I was gonna ask you who the light welterweight champion was, but...
Welterweight, I think, is still GSP.
What about the junior welterweight? What about the junior light welterweight?
I think they're naming them all differently now. They're all there's nothing juniorized or anything like that. They all
what
have
the,
different names.
What about the light lightweight?
That was Dominic Cruz. Is that Bantam at 135? He just defended on Sunday.
Yeah.
There, and he's pretty ridiculous. When you break your hand, in the first round and still smother your opponent for the next four rounds, you're pretty fucking good.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the other thing, too, is when you have so many titles, I'm not saying the titles don't mean something to the, like, let's say boxers or UFC guys. The titles obviously mean something to them. You can't, you know, go up weight classes too much
before, you know, you're never going to win. You're in your bantamweight. You're in your welterweight. Whatever, that's fine. But there's so many fucking titles that at some point it's going to diminish the pay-per-view buys, you know. Who's seriously if there was a heavyweight boxing match on pay-per-view in April, who's seriously going to tune into a goddamn junior light flyweight boxing match in May? Nobody. So kind of along those lines with wrestling, that's part of the problem too. Belts are changing hands all the goddamn time. Maybe they wouldn't if there were fewer belts. And this is an argument that we can have some other time, but, you know, with two world champs, two secondary champs, you know, and whatever other titles they got floating around, it's like they probably feel like they can get away with having Alberto win it, then lose it just to win it back. Ooh, as long as Mark Henry makes it through one whole challenger, then we can afford to have Alberto lose it multiple times.
Oh, and plus they were already claiming a second title reign. I'm like, oh, geez, seriously?
That's just too quick. That's too quick.
Yeah, no wonder some of these other guys are like, oh, they only had one title reign. So, it seems as though I opened up a bigger can of worms than I was initially intending.
That's all right.
But, I mean, I guess I'm not completely, like, just people really seem to shit on it, and I don't think it's, you know, as bad as most people tend to think, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's all I was getting to. Like, if it happens every so often, I'm fine with it. I mean, if they did it for, like, a year running or something, I would have a problem with it.
There are times when you switch the belts a couple of times in a row to establish maybe, you know, equal footing of two wrestlers or parity at the top. You know, The Rock and Mick Foley switch the belts back and forth like four times in the span of 2 months. That makes sense to me. The Rock and Triple H switch belts, I think, three times in early to mid-2000s. Yeah, it made a little less sense, but sometimes, again, you got to establish that two guys are of equal footing. We're still in the whole Del Rio being shoved down our throats thing. I think that's another issue that we're all having with it. We simply don't feel like this guy is title worthy. It'd be different if he was title worthy. It'd be different if it was John Cena and CM Punk, and I promise you it would be. There would not be a backlash against multiple title changes if it were John Cena and CM Punk. Because the people who are being the most vocal about this are the people who believe that CM Punk is worthy of the championship.
Yeah, and I have a tendency to agree with him.
Nice. That's it for Monday Night Raw. Other news that's not worth talking about, Hulk Hogan and Sting get the new stipulation for their Bound for Glory match. According to ProWrestling.net, it will now be a... no disqualification match. Is this a crutch for two old men who can't go anymore?
Most certainly. I mean, I don't even know. The way that Hogan walks to the ring now, I don't even know how he's going to get a passable match. Sting can't do half of his spots against Hogan, so...
Sting can't do half of his spots, and Sting won't do the other half.
I mean, how's Hogan even gonna do the big boot? Like, I'm just gonna wait for his hip to just shatter on him as he does the big boot.
Yeah, I don't know what Hogan thinks he can do anymore. Given his limited move set back in the day, he can't even do any of that shit nowadays. So
yeah,
that's gonna be a poor match. Jeff Hardy checks into jail. He has to spend 10 days in jail thanks to his ongoing court case. Is this going to be the wake-up call Jeff Hardy needs to get his life back on track?
Oh, I don't know. Did they work this in between tapings?
They would be smart to do that. Oh, God.
I didn't even pay attention. I mean, granted, he hasn't wrestled yet, so, I mean, it isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
But,
That's a valid point. That's hilarious. Again, that's the benefit to working for a company that only tapes TV shows every other week, is
if you really need to go to jail for 10 days, you probably can.
Just make sure your lawyer schedules it at the right time.
That's right. Old no pun intended, Otunga.
Yeah, just make sure your lawyer lets you spend it with your brother.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, can I serve this term concurrent with my brother, who will also be going to jail soon?
That's about it for the news you can't use. Anything else you wanted to talk about, Mr. DeFrango?
No, I already pimped the Pro Wrestling Ohio, and maybe if I'm studious here this evening, I'll at least get to I'm already 2 weeks behind here, so maybe I'll hop on that here.
Gotcha.
Since, because I had an Art of Wrestling up my sleeve, and I started working on it, but, you know, then life interferes.
As it tends to do.
Yep.
Well,
damn it.
Speaking of which, I'm going to go let life interrupt here, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off. So good talking about Raw and other unimportant stuff. Thanks for checking us out. If you're finding us on our website, stuntgranny.com, and you feel like downloading from iTunes, check us out at iTunes. If you're downloading us from iTunes already and aren't checking out the website, go to stuntgranny.com. Follow us on Twitter at stuntgranny, where we're very funny. And that's about all I can think of, so I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Yep, and now it's official. There is Yuengling for sale in the fine state of Ohio. So I'm going to go grab stuff that I bought in Pennsylvania in, like, fucking December at Christmas time. And I'm going to go drink one of those and have a good night, grandkids.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?